All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Well, that's epic.
That was dope.
That was so cool. I'm glad that was a surprise for us. Post that all over social media, Grady. People need to see that intro, because if you're on the podcast, you're not going to know what we're referring to. But if you're on the YouTube live show, you'll know exactly what we're referring to. And it was the cool new intro that we've gotten. We didn't get to see it until we went to air, and it was great. It didn't disappoint.
That looked like really high level stuff.
When Grady said he had a new intro for us and he was laughing, thought it was going to be a certain song that's recently come out. Into Canucks Nation.
Oh, yeah.
That was my... I had that thought 2 minutes before, but I haven't listened to it yet, and I'm not going to. So, my name is Jake.
It makes our old intro sound seem low budget.
I know. And... now we have to keep that new intro.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. My name is Jake Wajoli. That is Harmon Dial. Our technical producer, the man responsible for that, I think, is Grady Sass. And this is Canucks Conversation. It is brought to you, as always, by the 2024 Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X is Toyota's brand new all-electric SUV that's designed to go the distance for you and your family. The BZ4X is packed with Toyota's coolest tech, but still has that trusty SUV feel you know and love. And even though it's electric, it's capable of effortlessly conquering any terrain. Whether it's rain, snow, mud, or your friend's questionable post-game recaps, the BZ4X will get you through it all. And of course, we are coming to you from the iconic Wall Center in downtown Vancouver. Looking for your next meeting space? Contact the Wall Center for all your event needs at sales@wallcenter.com. Harmon, I wish I could say a big win over the Winnipeg Jets, but the Canucks did not win against the Winnipeg Jets. Give me your extensive recap.
Nice one, buddy.
2 minutes before air, Harmon and I were talking about how we very much so didn't really pay attention to last night's game. Quinn Hughes finished with 92 points on the season. Gets an assist. That's the big thing. Finishes as the top scoring defenseman. We submitted our ballots today. Today is the deadline for members of the Professional Hockey Writers Association to submit their ballots for the NHL awards. Do you want me to read my Norris ballot?
Let's go.
Will you read yours?
Yeah, I'll pull it up. Give me a sec here.
Okay. So you remember I said on air, obviously I made it clear that Quinn Hughes is going to be my number one. I went Quinn Hughes number one. I went Roman Josi number two, which I made clear. And then I was thinking about a toss-up between Victor Hedman and Cale Makar. But I actually read some stuff from your colleague over at The Athletic, Dom Lechijin, who basically convinced me that Cale Makar, by the analytics, shouldn't belong in the conversation. But I think he does belong in the conversation based on what I've seen from him this year and just raw point totals. Again, I have my own little grading system. But I did determine that Victor Hedman is more valuable and is a better all-around defenseman for the Tampa Bay Lightning than Cale Makar was for the Avalanche this year.
Interesting. Yeah. I had my top three went Hughes, Yossi, Makar. I didn't have Hedman in my top five just because his defensive metrics weren't very strong, but Hedman's still defensible. I'll be honest, after Yossi, 3 to 5 could have been any number of defensemen. There were a lot of candidates there. I had Fox 4, Dobson 5.
Interesting. I went Cale Makar 4. So I had Hedman 3, Cale Makar 4. I went Evan Bouchard 5.
Yeah, okay. So I'll be honest, I'm not as big a fan of Evan Bouchard as the analytics say.
Okay.
Me coming out with a stance against the metrics, probably didn't expect
it. He has such a strong underlying profile, but I eliminated him from top three contention, which is like, I think Dom, and again, Dom's just showing the numbers of course, where they slot in. Dom had him very high, but that's not Dom's taking his personal opinion, but the numbers suggest he should be top three. But I had my take that I told you like last week. I said, there can't have been conversations at the start of the year if you should even be in the lineup or like if you should be on the third pairing to win the Norris Trophy. You can't have had conversations like that about you.
He is way worse defensively than the numbers would tell you. That's the best way to put it. And I actually had a conversation with somebody a couple of days ago, an NHL executive, because, and I'm sure we'll discuss this later on the show, I did a piece for today with Chris Johnston at The Athletic, getting an anonymous panel of a GM, four execs, scout, agent to rate every playoff team into tiers. Edmonton came up, and this executive said that Evan Bouchard is probably the most polarizing player in terms of analytics versus eye test, and referenced countless examples of how you can kind of exploit him defensively at times. And look, to his credit, Bouchard did improve considerably in terms of cutting down those mistakes after the first few weeks of the season. That top pair has delivered excellent results. But if we're discussing top five Norris ballot, I just don't think his defensive game was quite up to snuff to make the cut.
That's fair. That's very fair. I had him five. I think it's undeniable that his underlying profile is greatly boosted up from playing with Matthias Ekholm.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing that I was thinking about was I don't even think he's the best defenseman on his own pair.
That's a fair point. I don't know, man. Again, and I have my system, and I've explained my
system. It's defensible. Before. I'm not telling you you're wrong. For sure. That it's a bad take.
My system is I look at the point totals and I look at defensive play because you're trying to give an all-around defenseman award. So I'm trying to weigh everything. And I think the point totals and what he's able to do with the puck, it moves him up enough to get a number five ballot.
Yeah,
or
totally
five
defensible.
On my ballot. Okay. And we're not going to dive further in our votes. But we submitted Hart, Selke, Calder, Lady Bing. Not going to dive further into that, though. You can find out when the votes come out, when the awards come out, because all the votes get posted. So we won't tease anything yet. We won't talk anymore about it. Okay, let's talk about the Canucks playoff schedule, which has now come out. Harm, get ready. Get ready, because they're coming to Vancouver, and man, it is going to be fun. The first game, Sunday night, April 21st, 7 p.m. at Rogers Arena. Harm, by the time we talk on our next episode, the Canucks will have played a playoff game at Rogers Arena.
We'll have won a playoff game at Rogers Arena.
That's a great
hopefully.
Way.
We'll Not have, an official prediction.
I was about to use the S word, but I won't do it.
I don't know what S word you're referring
yes,
to.
Yes, you do. For the goaltenders?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now I get it.
Yeah. Yes, they will have won a game, Harm, by a final score of 7-0. There's my score prediction for the day.
Nice.
I'm excited for this series. We previewed it a lot yesterday. I think it's going to be, at worst, it's going to be a very entertaining series. The Canucks lose. At absolute worst. It's not going to be a, knock on wood, but of course, it's not going to be a boring series where the Canucks just get suffocated and it's hard to watch as a fan. It's going to be a high-flying, exciting series to watch. And like I said, at worst, it's going to be a series that the Canucks lose. At worst, it's going to be an exciting series that the Canucks lose.
Absolutely. And of course, if anybody wants more of the head-to-head deep dive, we went super deep on yesterday's show, which is why we're not going as deep in terms of the head-to-head Vancouver versus Nashville matchup. One thing I will say about the Canucks that maybe we didn't touch on with yesterday's show is I think getting that Lindholm, Garland, Joshua line, building some confidence with them that hey, they can be really effective in a shutdown role. They can maybe chip in with some secondary offense. I have a lot more confidence in the depth of this forward lineup now than I did 2-3 weeks ago when Lindholm was still out. And remember, we had Joshua Garland playing in the top six next to JT Miller at one point, and the bottom six honestly looked like a wasteland. Now with Lindholm back in this new look third line, I think that gives you a lot more confidence again than 2-3 weeks ago.
Absolutely. There's a ton of confidence. And yeah, I don't know. Do you want to dive more into this series? Like, we went over the playoff schedule. We're just waiting on Wyatt Arndt, who's going to join us in a matter of moments here. Wait, we didn't even get to the rest of the games. I said we were talking about the playoff schedule. Let's talk about the actual schedule. So like I said, game one, Sunday, April 21st, 7 p.m. There's going to be a post-game show, folks. Rink-wide Vancouver, and then Securus and Price will have you covered on Monday morning. We'll be back on Monday as well, right here at the Wall Center. And then Tuesday is game two. So, Harm, Monday's episode is going to be a recap of game one and looking ahead to game two. And man, am I excited for it. Like, it is going to be such an exciting series. I'm so excited for playoff hockey. I think I'm going to say the word exciting at least 30 times on today's show, but I'm very, very excited for this series. Game two, Tuesday, April 23rd at Rogers Arena. And then they fly, you fly, Jeff Patterson flies, Canucks Army flies to Bridgestone Arena for a 4:30 start on Friday, April 26th, and then game four, Sunday, April 28th at Bridgestone Arena, 2 p.m. 2 p.m. start for that game.
Yeah, I don't love the 2 p.m. start. We know the Canucks haven't necessarily been at their best with those afternoon games in the regular season, but overall, when I look at the schedule that they got, 2 days off between game two and game three, which accounts for the long flight, some extra time to recharge, plus there being no back-to-back game six and seven situation if it gets that deep, which some people were wondering if six and seven might have to be a back-to-back situation because of the building situation. Overall, I think the schedule works out pretty well in terms of rest, and I don't have many gripes with it, which is a positive sign because it didn't sound like it was going to be quite straightforward. I mean, for a while, we even thought this series might start Tuesday.
We did. And that's game two now. But the teams complained about that. We saw that report from Dollar Wall, right? So I like that. I love that kind of report. Okay. Let's get to him. Let's get to Wyatt Arndt. We've broken down the Canucks playoff schedule. Wyatt is brought to you by, fittingly, the Canucks Army playoff shirt. The playoffs are near, and we have an army. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Vancouver's playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup. Shop the exclusive We Have an Army playoff tee and more at nationgear.ca. Bring him in, Wyatt Arndt. Let's get to him. Let that ride out.
That feels good. That feels good. That feels good.
Have you thought about getting pyrotechnics?
I mean, playoffs, right? I'm saving for the playoffs. I've been waiting 9 years. So this is the time. I might get a couple sparklers, you know, maybe a candle. I don't know. I'm thinking about it.
Sparklers.
I mean, you've got extra gift money from the playoffs now.
That's right.
I know. The government's going to take the piece of the pie as they do. But I think I might have just enough money for maybe three sparklers, one sparkler per round. I don't know. I don't want to plan too far ahead, you know, but I'm thinking about it.
Okay. That one from Jesse C asking if you were going to get some pyrotechnics. Wyatt, tell us about last night's game. All about it. Winnipeg versus Vancouver. Battle of the heavyweights. Tell us about last night's game.
Yeah, that was a weird game. Like, again, like I said in the stanchions last night, I'm used to like the last game of the season just being, you know, no one gives a bleep about the game. It's just normally we're talking about draft simulations, thinking about next year, what went wrong. So it was different, but the game still didn't mean anything. Like, it was, you know, both teams, you know, to be fair, both teams tried. They did good enough, you know, they made it a hockey game. But I don't think either side was worried about the result too much, you know. And, you know, the fans got their win in Winnipeg, good for them. But, you know, at most, no one wanted to be hurt. Like, when Freedom went down blocking that shot, you're like, oh, no, like, that wasn't worth it, man. You didn't need to block that shot, brother. But he's trying to get a contract. Because, like, honestly, him, if I'm his agent, I'm sending that to every team now. Look at that. Game meant nothing. He's out there blocking shots, killing himself for a team. So other than that, I think at one point, like, Pettersson looked like he, like, you know, was maybe limping for half a second. Everyone's like, oh, no. So I think the entire point of that game was, you know, have no one get hurt, and they accomplished it. Yay.
Why? Wyatt, how much of a buzz in the city do you think there is for the Canucks being back in the playoffs? And I'm not talking, obviously, about Canucks Twitter, because hardcores have always been engaged. They're passionate. But among the casuals in the city as a whole, how much of a buzz are you feeling?
I think it's still there. It's not as intense as I thought. I think people are still a bit like, is this season real? I think there's still a level of like, no one's fully accepted that it's playoffs hockey yet. Because the last time we had it in the bubble, that was kind of a surreal experience. It's, you know, 2015 is the last time I really had that kind of energy. I've seen, you know, some flags on the cars. I've seen that around. But I think it's going to be until that puck drops in game one where I think it's going to feel really real. And people are like, no, this is actually happening. Like, I think some people still think that Gary Bettman's going to come along. But like, actually, 20 of your points don't count. You're out of the playoffs. Utah, get in here. So I think everyone's kind of waiting. No one quite believes it. But I think after that, you know, puck drops game one, it's going to be intense because I think people have been waiting for a long time. Once they see it's here, it's visceral. You're going to see people getting into it.
Wyatt, what do you make of the matchup between the Canucks and Predators? More specifically, what do you make of the Predators matching up against the Canucks?
It's one of those things where, like, you know, I think everyone would, if they had got to pick an opponent, it would be Nashville. Again, that's always dangerous, right? Because you never know what's going to happen in the playoffs. Small sample sizes. All of a sudden, like, we saw Florida, you know, infamously Toronto. Like, everyone's like, yay, Florida. Oh, wait. Like, it can really come back to bite you. But just in terms of, like, the style they play, you know, the regular season success against them, it all kind of lines up. From entertainment point of view, I didn't want to see LA because I don't want to see anything to do with that. Vegas, you know, it scares everyone. We're seeing, obviously, every other team wants to face Vancouver, so maybe they can put that as bulletin board material. Maybe Vancouver should be answering those questions. Because, yeah, even like that points to the whole thing where everyone's like, everyone still thinks it's a bit of a Cinderella situation here. Like, when, you know, is that character turned into a pumpkin? And I think the first round, like, if you look at this season, for it to be a success, they have to win at least one round. If they win one round in the second round, say Vegas takes off, whatever happens, I think you can still be like, what a great season. If they lose the first round, I feel like it's going to be a big narrative that anything they did this year was that fluke. Like, well, hey. Yep. You know, they got a bit of a run, but that's all it was. They got exposed. They're frauds. And you're going to get that. So I think just in terms of wanting that legacy of this season to be cemented in, they've got to beat Nashville. They really do.
When you look at this Canucks team, beyond just the Nashville series in the first round and this idea of can they go deep in the playoffs, if you had to pick out the biggest bull case or the biggest positive strength, whatever you want to call it, the biggest reason to be optimistic about their chance of going deep and maybe the biggest reason to be pessimistic about them going deep. Can you give us the bull case and the bear case?
I think if you're going to, you know, forecast a long run for the Canucks, Quinn Hughes, as cliche as it, Quinn Hughes is just a game changer for me. Like, you look at this, like, cause I was, you know, doing the voting this year for the first time. You look at less, like, for me, the puck possession, him being, I think it was like 30 minutes over the next second close Pelosi player. Like, he just dominates and controls the game so much for Vancouver. We've seen him time after time again just kind of take the game by the, you know, the horns and turn things around. And for me, like, that is the biggest factor. And obviously, we're going to see teams now. They're going to game plan on Quinn. They're going to throw the body in Quinn. And to me, it's kind of like that Patrick Kane thing where, like, people obviously knew Patrick Kane was a dominant player and they didn't want to hit him, but he was so elusive. I think Quinn Hughes is very elusive and hard to hit, but all it takes is one big, you know, whammo. And you see what you're dealing with. And for me, the X factor, though, is also Thatcher Demko. Like, we talk about Bubble Demko as a joke, but if Demko takes off, that is a game changer over other teams to me. Like, he is a top five goalie. He's a guy that can steal a series. So if you're sitting there going, hey, is this a year they can go on a deep run? Hughes and Demko, as much as, you know, it's a team game, those two guys for me, just they can take over a series. And if you're looking at to why they won't, it's, you know, the defensive core. I like the defensive core, but I don't know if I trust it. Like, Tyler Myers is, I like watching him, but like in a 7-game series, is he a guy that, you know, you can rely on that entire time? We've seen Zadorov be a guy that can one game just like be amazing, but there's also, like, you know, then games where he's making questionable decisions, trying to like go down the ice and he's turning over the puck. And so for me, like, I like the forward depth, but, you know, it's going to be timely scoring, which has been both a plus and a negative for this team. And the defense, which I like, I just don't know if it matches up against some of the other bigger teams.
My next question was going to be about the biggest X factor, but you've named Thatcher Demko and a few of them there. Looking away from the top guys, like, let's take Quinn Hughes out. Let's take Thatcher Demko out of the conversation. JT Miller out of the conversation.
Pedersen too.
Can you take Pedersen out? Because that's kind of where I'm leaning, actually, is like Pedersen can make or break this series.
Sure. I thought you were trying to get at the idea of a depth guy that...
Well, okay, so that's a different conversation because everybody's mind's going to go Dakota Joshua. Like, the matchups, right? Yeah. The matchups. You should be able to win your matchups. But I'm now looking at it and saying, okay, well, Elias Pettersson's not going to get matched up against, and the Canucks aren't going to put Elias Pettersson, Nils Höglander, and Ilya Mikheyev out as their shutdown line. So I'm almost looking at the Pettersson line as potentially getting that third line matchup, potentially, right? Where Lindholm, Garland,
Joshua,
that's his name. Those guys could maybe, you'd think, just looking at it and saying those guys could take over a series, but I'm almost looking at it and saying the third line matchup might go to Elias Pettersson. And at that point, you've got to take over a series if you're Elias Pettersson.
Yeah, I mean, that's, there's a lot.
Sorry, not really a question.
No, but like, it's hard to discuss, like, what is going to be maybe this factor you didn't kind of see coming. And I think Trevor just mentioned in the comments down there that there's also the veteran savvy of some of these guys that you bring in, the Ian Coles, who have the experience and stuff. So that is something I'm also intrigued by. Like, we always talk about, oh, maybe they're not ready for the playoffs, but they have guys who have done the playoffs before. Will that come into play? And I'm intrigued by that as well. For me, honestly, and like, again, I'd mentioned, I got to vote for the first time this year. And I'm going to tell you boys, a little spoiler. Someone got a Selke vote for me from the Canucks, and it was Connor Garland. I'm going to go to bat for that.
Wow.
Fifth spot. And it's not just because I enjoy watching play. I think he has been, he headlined one of the most elite third lines in the league. He's also, like, defensively, his underlying numbers are fantastic. And the Selke's a bit of a, usually you go with the top scorers, can also play a bit of defense. But for me, Garland was so good defensively. I think that he deserved a look. And I think for me, come the playoff time, you're going to have a third line that, as you said, they might get that matchup that allows Elias Pettersson to maybe unleash himself a bit. So for me, how we've seen the partnership of Joshua and Garland and how well they played, and maybe the X factor in all this is Elias Lindholm, how he takes off. We've been kind of waiting for him. He's kind of slow. Maybe he fits into that line. All of a sudden, if they get that elite third line kind of matchup on their team, like that was kind of the 2011 thing. That was the dream. The Mount Holzer line was going to take the matchups. He's going to help that team go all the way. He gets injured. All of a sudden, Kessler had that burden. His body breaks down. So for me, having that elite third line that can go, I honestly think that might be one of the biggest X factors for the Canucks.
When you look at Nashville, what do you think is the biggest threat or the biggest, I guess, maybe not worry is the best word, but what do the Canucks have to be careful of when you look at Nashville on paper and the pieces that they have?
I think they're just a team that you know has kind of found their own identity, kind of like the Canucks. They have a good system, a good structure, and they've got good goaltending. Then maybe not the top line talent that the Canucks do, but they still have a guy in Roman Josi that can kind of match Quinn Hughes with offense. And for me, it's if the Canucks kind of, we've seen them kind of lose their temper and kind of lose their way a few times here. If Nashville gets that first win, there is a bit of a worry that they kind of stick to the system. We've seen Vancouver struggle when a team locks them down, like LA or Vegas. And if Nashville gets in their zone, I think they're disciplined enough that they can wear the Canucks down. And their X factor is, you know what, let's go to Luke Shen. That guy's a beast back there. He's gonna hurt some Canucks. I do think it's gonna be fun to watch Luke Shen play for the Predators, but I think that there's a solid team that, you know, since the All-Star break has kind of found their groove. And like, I'm not going, like, that's the thing, I think they're a good matchup because I don't believe in them too much, but if they were to do something, I think it's just they kind of found their groove and they're kind of playing well. And I just do think the Canucks have the upper hand, but, you know, famous last words.
And we'll make those your last words, Wyatt. We'll chat with you next week as well. We'll have some playoff games to talk about, and that is certainly exciting. Wyatt, thanks so much for joining us, man.
Thanks, boys. Remember, Garland for Selke. It's going to happen.
I actually love that pick. I love that pick. Wyatt, good pick. Good first year voting, man. You got to make a splash. Sometimes you got to put Tobias Bjornfoot on your Lady Bing. Thanks, Wyatt. Appreciate it.
Thanks, boys.
There he is. Wyatt Arndt. I'm never going to lose. Well, I gleefully talk about it, but I think before I brought it up, nobody really knew that I was the Tobias Bjornfoot voter. You could see it on his hockey reference page that someone did it.
But I also don't think people were looking up Tobias Bjornfoot's hockey reference page and being like, oh, who voted for him? Lady Bing.
Now they are.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Okay. Got to tell you about a couple sponsors before we get to our new sponsor for anyone else, which I'm very excited about. But before we do that, I got to tell you about a couple sponsors. And one of them is a new game. You played the Survivor Pool all season long, but we've got a new one. For you, get ready for the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer four questions, pick the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards, while each round's champs pocket cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Let's go. Arm, the playoffs start tomorrow. Like, Eastern Conference matchups start tomorrow. We're going to get to our round one picks. Get to see Toronto drop game one tomorrow. Look at that slate. That looks great. All right. Our next sponsor is Four Winds Brewing. We love talking about Four Winds Brewing on this show. We're going to tell you about one of their IPAs, and that one is called Greg. Brewed in memory of former owner Greg Mills, Greg is a solid West Coast IPA with notes of citrus, resinous pine, and a solid malt backbone. About as West Coast as an IPA gets. Greg can be found at most liquor stores across BC. If you don't see it at your local bottle shop, ask them to bring it in or order it for home delivery through the Four Winds online shop at fourwindsbrewing.ca. Look at that can. Look at that. What is that? A blue nose? Something like that. There it is. Beautiful, beautiful can. Locally owned on and operated in Delta. Check out their tap room on River Road in Delta. Go to fourwindsbrewing.ca. Okay. Do you want to do anyone else? Anyone else?
I don't even have it.
You got to get it ready because I want you to start doing anyone else because our new sponsor of anyone else is the Vancouver Canadiens. There it is. Look at that. Look at that. Vancouver Canadiens coming on as a sponsor. I couldn't be more thrilled about it. I know Harmon could, but it's great. Great to have the Canadiens on board. It's time for anyone else presented by the Vancouver Canadiens. The Seas are back at the net. Catch fireworks, giveaways, Friday nooners, and superstar appearances all spring and summer long. Get your tickets at CanadiansBaseball.com. The Seas are giving away a record 33 giveaways this season. This includes 6 koozies giveaways for the first 6 Saturdays of the season from all our beer partners and a giveaway every Sunday for Family Fun Sunday for kids 12 and under. The Seas open up a new homestand on Tuesday, April 23rd. Don't miss the Nooner at the Nat on Friday the 26th or Family Fun Sunday on the 28th of April. For tickets, call 604-872-5232. Or go to CanadiansBaseball.com. I talked about it Monday. I've already been there this season. They won. Dominant pitching performance. And hey, you know what? If you're a baseball fan, you get to see other top prospects too, like Tommy Troy, 39th ranked player in Major League Baseball prospect. Drafted last year, got to see him in person. Dude looks like a ball player. You can just see sometimes, you know?
I'll pretend like I know who that is.
My lesson from Moneyball was like all those scouts at the table that got analytics yelled at them. I was like, those guys were onto something. Okay, let's get to anyone else presented by the Vancouver Canadiens. Here's one. Karen Versation. Canucks combo sponsored by a baseball team? Only Quads could have arranged this. Nope, I promise. I had nothing to do with this, but I think the Seas must have known. My boy Tyler Zickel over there must have spread the word that, hey, if you get a sponsorship on Canucks Convo, he ain't just reading off a script. He's speaking from the heart.
Yeah, good for you. I'm really happy for you, Quads. Really, really happy.
Thanks. Okay, Jeremy Lee, what entrance theme should the Canucks use for the playoffs? Harm, there's been some talk that they should use Where the Streets Have No Names. No name. Yeah, that's it. Where the Streets Have No Name.
I'm torn because on the one hand, look, that was a great entrance song last time, right? It's synonymous with the 2011 era. But I can also buy the idea that for this era of team, considering it's been so long, maybe you want to pick a new song. Maybe you want to pick something that becomes synonymous for this chorus specifically. But yeah, I mean, I could be convinced either way. What do you think?
What I don't want to see, and they've done this before, and they might do it. And again, I don't want to have the hardest take in the world and be like, oh, if they do this, It's a monstrosity. But like the EDM remix of Where the Streets Have No Name, like we've seen that before. They've done that where it's like a remix.
I don't remember.
I'm not a remix guy. Don't give me a remix.
No, I don't think they'll give us the EDM remix.
Do you guys know the first two lyrics of that song, Where the Streets Have No Name? It's not very playoff invigorating.
Yeah.
I want to run. Yeah. I want to hide. But something about the way that music and the towels waving, Canucks coming out, it just slaps.
Oh, yeah. But we saw the photo of the towels. Can you find that, Grady? It was somewhere on Twitter. I don't know if you can. Good digging. But
I'll dig.
The playoff towels came out. And you know, yeah, I'm sitting in the press box. I don't think we're getting towels.
You might be the only media member with the towel moving around after the score. Man.
Yeah. No. I don't do that. I did that the first time in the press box, but I was on the Botchford project. I was still learning.
Wait, you cheered?
Do you not know that story?
No, I don't.
So I'm sitting next. I've never told the story. That's funny. So first Botchford project night, Jeff Patterson is my mentor that night. Kat Botchford is with me in the press box. Kat Botchford is not a media member. She's not a trained media member. We were both given the little talk. Yeah, don't cheer when anything happens. But like, Kat got excited, so I got excited because like, you know, we're sitting next to each other. She was like, she didn't like, it wasn't like a woo, like stand up or anything, but it was like it was a distinct reaction to the Canucks scoring. And like, I also had a distinct reaction to the Canucks scoring. And
just don't deflect blame here.
No, I'm not. Just looking around, it was just very, very funny that nobody else had any reaction, because that's what you do now.
Yeah.
You know, and now, like, now I'm writing instant reaction during the game. So as soon as there's a goal, I'm like, okay, replay it in my head. Who was that pass? Like, you're really analyzing the game. So you're thinking about what you just saw, doing all that sort of stuff. But at that point, I was just like, my story for the Botchford project was on Quinn Hughes. And I didn't even get to talk to Quinn because Kyle McCarr was in town. So it was their first matchup ever. So I didn't even get to talk to Quinn because he had too much national media talking to him.
Oh, that's tough.
It was a good story, though, because I got a lot from Chris Tanev.
Oh, that's sweet.
Chris Tanev, actually, in that story, very early supporter of Quinn Hughes' defensive game. Because my questions were like, yeah, like Quinn's so good offensively. Like, how do you think you two have done together? Like, you're obviously such a defensive stalwart. He's like, actually, like, I think you guys are going to realize this soon. He's really good defensively. And Quinn was like a month into his career at that point. And Tanev called it very early.
Yeah, and that, when I think back to Quinn's rookie season, especially compared to Luke Hughes, for example, Luke Hughes is going to be uber talented, electric defenseman. I think he put up 47 points or something ridiculous this season. Offensively, he's been unreal. But to compare Quinn's defensive game in his rookie season to Luke's, night and day, like, it's not even close. Quinn walked in and night one was matched up against Connor McDavid head to head. And throughout that season, his defensive game was sturdy, rarely made mistakes, rarely turned the puck over. The only time we saw Quinn Hughes struggle defensively in the NHL was that 56 game All-Canadian division year.
Yes.
Which was just a weird season as a whole. The entire team was brutal that year.
Everybody except Brock Besser was awful that year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Brock Besser was the Canucks' only good player that season.
Yeah, I remember that, especially because that year, I remember Pettersson got hurt midway through the year.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just that Besser had a good year and was their best forward. It was, he's doing it without Pettersson. Yeah, so that's it. Got some extra respect on his name there.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we got a few things in the YouTube live chat here. People are talking about entrance songs, and it doesn't look like the Canucks are going to be wearing the black skate. That would be great if they just kept it a secret from everybody and then came out and then switched up on everybody. That would be awesome. That'd be really cool. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. You got to pick one playoff jersey. I don't blame the Canucks for not going with the black skate. I don't blame them for it. You don't wear an alternate in the playoffs, but I think this is a problem with the NHL. The NHL should change that rule. What is that rule supporting? Like, what's that rule for, that you can't wear an alternate in the playoffs?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It's dumb. Do other leagues have it? I'd be very curious to know. Stall.
All right, let's see if... we got a question here from Jesse C. Does our defense taking insane amount of penalties hurt us less if the whistles go away in the playoffs? So this is interesting. I know there's a narrative that officiating changes drastically in the playoffs, and it does to a certain extent, but the number of penalties called doesn't actually significantly dip in the postseason. I think what happens is the bar for what's a penalty is just higher across the board. And players are always going to play to the edge of what
play
a penalty
to
is.
That bar. Okay.
Right. So I think you can get away with more, but the penalties are still called. If you look statistically at a similar level, the difference though is the later a series goes on. That's when you get to game 5, 6, 7, that's when the whistles do go away a little, but especially in the early parts of a series, game 1 to 4, I think I saw a statistic that penalties are actually called slightly higher at a slightly higher clip than they are in the regular season. And you can think of, for example, Minnesota versus Dallas in the first round last year, for example. That series was single-handedly over because of Minnesota's horrific PK. So I don't think that the playoff environment is going to be a get-out-of-jail-free card when you think about the number of penalties that Myers, Zadorov historically take. One positive sign on that, though, is Carson Soucy has typically taken a lot of penalties like in previous seasons. Yeah. Like he's been among bottom 10 defensemen.
This is a conversation you and I had with like Myers, Cole, and Soucy, right? Too,
yeah. But I don't think Soucy's taken
no, he hasn't.
As many this year.
Dude, he almost got the old Tobias Bjornfoot vote this year.
But yeah, that's at least a positive. But no, that's not going to, the officiating standard isn't going to bail them out. And I mean, it's the Vancouver Canucks. They're not going to have the officiating go in their favor.
So 12 penalty minutes for Soucy this year through 39
really
games.
Impressive.
68 last year through 78. Of course, there's fights in there. Like he fought JT Miller last year. So there's that. Or did they end up dropping them?
I can't remember.
I don't think they actually dropped the gloves, but he has gotten into fights. And then the season before that, 47 penalty minutes to 64 games played. But the one before that is the most egregious with the Wild. 50 games played, 51 penalty minutes.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, that's
penalty
part of
minutes
why,
per 60 is up there.
Like Soucy has been so much better than he was in Seattle last year. He was effective, solid, don't get me wrong, but from a defensive standpoint and cutting down on the number of penalties he's taken, great addition for this blue line.
And Harm, that's the thing. When we talk about the team's pro scouting, a lot of times people just think we're talking about the Teddy Blugers of the world, the Ian Coles, those sharp additions that are just, you know, low risk, like Pia Suter, thinking he would mesh with the team, those kind of things. Carson Soucy was the biggest ticket they handed out. And when Patrick Alvin was asked about it, he said, yeah, he's played third pairing minutes his whole career. We think he's capable of being a legitimate top four guy. And they were bang on. They were bang on. They've got Carson Soucy for 2 more years. Again, I'm not coming out here and saying that's a steal of a contract, but it is a good contract. It's not a negative value contract. And if Carson Soucy was playing like a third pairing defenseman, it might be a fair value to negative value. Right now, it's surplus value that he's providing the Canucks.
Yeah, this team has felt different defensively when he's been in the lineup. And even on the PK too, I'm impressed the way that he defends the blue line, how rangy he is. He just makes life difficult. And I'm also curious to see the Edmonton game, for example. We saw a little bit more snarl in his game. Of course, the hit on Evander Kane and everything stemmed from that. I do wonder if once the playoffs start, we'll see him playing a little bit meaner too. He's always been sturdy and strong physically. He's never been one to back down in corners. He leans on guys, he separates them, he breaks plays up on the cycle. But I wonder if in the playoffs, we could also see a little bit more meanness to his game and him even amplifying his value further.
A little bit of snarl, a little bit of snarl. Okay, this goes back to something I brought up earlier, and this is a comment from Jake Bennett in the YouTube live chat. He said, Elias Lindholm is a major X factor this series. Need him to dominate his matchups. And while that is true, the thing I brought up with Wyatt that I kind of want to touch on a bit with you was the matchups in this series. And I know we touched on it a bit yesterday, but I was thinking about this from the perspective of Elias Pettersson might not get hard matched. Like, or excuse me, I shouldn't even say might. He won't get hard matched by Nashville's top line. Like Nashville's top line of Ryan O'Reilly, Philip Forsberg, who's the third guy?
Gus Nyquist.
That line's been really good. They're going to match up against the JT Miller line. Like when Nashville comes in, the Canucks have last change. It's going to be JT Miller, going up against that line. That's going to be Tockett dictating that matchup.
Or
he would go with Elias Lindholm, yeah. Connor Garland, and Dakota Joshua. But my point being, you know who it's not going to be? Is Elias Pettersson, Nils Höglander, or Ilya Mikheyev.
Yep.
So the next matchup, you just go down the lineup and you kind of see that, okay, if the Canucks have last change, they might be hoping that the Elias Pettersson line, because the Canucks have last change for the first two games, right? They're going to be hoping that that line can dominate their matchups. And then I wonder, and you brought up yesterday a great point, that it's like a chess match in the playoffs. And this is, you know, look, Travis Green got a lot of flack. Travis Green put on a masterclass in the bubble of coaching and winning matchups. And Rick Tocchet's a similar tactician to Travis Green. Obviously, we know they're good buds, but they're going to have the matchup advantage through the first two games. And I don't just mean by having last change. I also mean by the players that they're going to be able to roll out on all three lines.
Yeah, and that Pettersson line as a whole, if we discuss beyond just the scope of this Nashville series, that's the difference between when you look at some of the other top teams in the West. Well, how does Vancouver's top six actually match up against teams like Dallas, Winnipeg, Edmonton, Colorado, Vegas? It's going to come down to, can Elias Pettersson be a high-end driver? Because you've got Ilya Mikheyev in the top six right now. You've got Pia Suter. Those guys in an ideal situation probably wouldn't be in a top six capacity. So for the Canucks to sort of compensate for that, they need Pettersson, Miller, and Besser to really do the heavy lifting. Obviously, Höglander will chip in as well, and he's been terrific in the second half of the season since he's bumped up into a top six role. But I think we're all fairly confident that Miller and Besser are going to click. It's, can you get Pettersson going? And if you do, then all of a sudden your top six can hold serve against pretty much every team in the Western Conference. If Pettersson doesn't, now all of a sudden you can look at it and go, okay, you like the Miller line, you like Vancouver's third line, but the top six as a whole may be losing its matchups. Not against Nashville, but if they face other top teams deeper in the postseason.
Yeah. We got to get to our round one picks. We didn't even do that. We just went into anyone else. So we'll get to the round one picks in a second. I want to ask you this question because it's also about the Preds, Harm. This one from Jesse C, regular listener of the show. Do you worry about a D-pair matchup of Susi Myers versus Preds F1 as well? What? You got to word your questions better. I'm reading these on air, people. What is... I don't even know how to make sense of that question. From Jesse C, read that.
You worry about a deeper matchup of versus one as well group.
I don't want to read it as it's written.
I think I'm not 100% certain, but I think he's asking, how do you feel about if Susi and Myers get matched up against Nashville's top line? And then, I don't get the rest of the question.
Yeah, I don't understand the rest of the question.
But
I got that much.
Yeah. As for that, I mean, Susi is the key cog, right? I will say this, and this is where it'll be fascinating to see how Vancouver's blue line sort of holds up in the playoffs, because we know from a team defense standpoint that the Canucks have been terrific since Jan 1, right? They've been excellent lockdown. If you look at the Canucks blue line on paper, especially against the top Western teams like Dallas and Vegas in particular, their blue lines, Canucks don't have the strongest second and third pairs. Like, they're fine, right? They have a collection of number 4 or 5 defensemen, but it's not to the same level of, again, a Vegas or Dallas now that they've got Tanev and Harley has broken out. So one of the themes that came up in discussing the Canucks and how are they going to do in the fair in the playoffs when I spoke to execs around the league was, don't love their blue line after Quinn Hughes.
Okay, let's get to that. The Athletic has put the Vancouver Canucks in tier 3B once again. Harm, explain yourself.
Okay, so Chris Johnson and I, collectively between us, we spoke to 7 execs anonymously, created a panel, asked them to sort every playoff team into tiers, right? That panel included an NHL general manager, 4 director or assistant GM level, hockey operations staffers, a scout, and an agent who has previous director level experience working for an NHL team. And yes, the Canucks were slotted in tier three, but I don't think it's the disrespect that people think it is. Do I think they were slightly underrated? Yeah. But look at the definition for tier three that we presented, right? I'll go through tier one to five or five tiers.
Do it.
Tier one, Stanley Cup favorites, your top three to four teams, right? So this, the only teams that made this cut were Carolina, Florida, and Dallas. After that was tier two, strong cup contender. Tier three was considered dark horse where the Canucks were. So this is a solid team that could make a deep run if they got hot, but they have glaring question marks and concerns. Tier four was long shot, as in maybe they can get hot and win around, but they aren't realistically contending for the cup. And tier five was first round cannon fodder. Should feel lucky just to be in the playoffs. And
can I ask who was in there? Was it just Washington, New York?
Washington, the Islanders were the only teams in tier five. Okay. And yeah, the Canucks ended up in tier three, but is that unfair? Is that unfair to look at the Canucks yes. and say they're a dark horse contender? They're a solid team that could make a deep run if they get hot, but they have some glaring question marks and concerns.
No, it's not unfair, but...
Is that really that disrespectful?
No, it's not, but I'm still going to make tier 3B jokes.
Oh, that's fair.
You and I were talking about this on the way up to the office, and the thing you and I talked about was maybe doing our own little tiers here. Because well, I was going to be similar.
I was going to say of the West, because mm-hmm. I'd been thinking about the West, right? And so to me, I would... If I had to do tiers myself, I would put Vancouver in tier 3, but some of the Western teams in tier 2... I would also bump down to tier three in the same group as Vancouver. So tier one to me, I think
Dallas,
right?
I think far it starts away. And ends with Dallas. Personally.
Yeah. It's just Dallas tier. So from tier two, I would bump Colorado down to tier three.
Interesting.
Just because of their goaltending, man,
it's too shaky.
Georgiev has an .840 save percentage yep. in his last six games.
Fair enough.
And even offensively, they have the McKinnon line, but their middle six isn't as dominant as it was when they won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Plus, they have a difficult path through that Central Division, man. You got to beat Winnipeg. Then you got to beat Dallas. Like, that's a tough road through the playoffs. They aren't playing their best hockey right now. So if you talk about them, their goaltending alone and having a Hellebuck versus Georgiev matchup, like, that fits the bill of a team that could make a deep run, but they have glaring question marks and weaknesses, right? So, you know, I'd bump Colorado down to tier three. I would bump Vegas down to tier three.
Yep.
Just because, I mean, their record's 34-29-7 through the final seven.
Yeah, that's
games.
The other thing about all this is I feel like we got to respect what happened in the regular season. Like, the Canucks were the best team in the Pacific Division in the regular season. They almost won the conference championship. Thankfully, they didn't, but they were almost there. They almost won the West.
Yeah, and of course, Vegas is going to get everybody back, but their goaltending is also a question mark, mm-hmm. right? Like, Hill is 7-10-0 since the All-Star break with an .882 save percentage. They don't win the Cup without Aiden Hill being terrific in last year's playoffs. And Thompson has been vastly superior, but he's never started an NHL playoff game. So that's a legit question mark. Plus, it's like, how's Stone going to look? Is Hurdle going to be firing on all cylinders? Can they just flip a switch? And to me, there are enough question marks there. Winnipeg also, I think you could bump down to tier three in a sort of similar vein as Vancouver, again, because it's a difficult path through the Central. They're going to have to beat Colorado. They're going to have to beat Dallas. Now Edmonton on paper, I think they're a tier three team, but just because they have, I think, an easy first round matchup in LA because of how they stylistically match up. Edmonton's beat up on them twice. I think you can make a case for them to be like a low tier two.
I think that's fair. I think that's absolutely. So who do you have in tier two?
Just Edmonton.
Okay.
And again, it's not because I think they're tier that two. Yeah. Low tier two. Just because they've gotten, dude, like Edmonton, like LA is the perfect matchup for Edmonton, right? Because LA doesn't have enough offensive firepower and they don't have the goaltending. That's the biggest question mark is, LA can maybe try and slow McDavid down, but at some point, they're still going to create chances, and the goaltending let them down last spring. It's from LA's perspective, they would have had, I think, a better shot against Dallas. I think they would have had a better stylistic chance against Vegas. Edmonton is bad for them.
Edmonton stomped the Kings every time they've played them, basically. And I was talking to Bag Milk about this to kind of understand, okay, well, why did the Canucks have so much trouble and why did the Oilers not? And basically what Bag said to me was that the Oilers just regroup, let LA get set up in the neutral zone, And then one of those skaters is usually Connor McDavid. And then all five Oilers go up the ice at the exact same time. And LA can't contend with it. They can't contend with that kind of speed.
And even past round one for Edmonton, like, they may end up facing the winner of Vancouver versus Nashville, which isn't, like, I'd rather take that path than potentially playing the winner of, like, Winnipeg, Colorado.
Absolutely.
Or, or the winner of Dallas, Vegas, right? So I think Edmonton just has an easier potential path through the first round, especially than a lot of the other Western teams. And then in tier four, I'd have LA and Nashville. And then I don't have a tier five team in the West.
Okay. Let's get to our round one picks. Our round one picks. We did it. We thought about doing a full bracket, but we ended up just doing round one. There's no point projecting all of the rounds and ending with Canucks in four over the Bruins. Let's get to our round one picks. We got graphics for these now too.
And we're going to start off with Harmon's picks coming right up.
Okay. So New York over Washington, that's an easy one in five. No one believes in Washington. They are not a real playoff team. Carolina against the Islanders, again, I also don't believe in the Islanders. The only way they somehow make it through is to get miraculous goaltending, but Carolina's goaltending has been red hot too lately, so I think that could cancel each other out, and Carolina, one of the best teams on paper. I got Florida in six over Tampa. And this is my, I guess, quote unquote, hot take out of the East, just because you can't, like, as I was choosing my first round matchups, you also can't, my opinion, for the spirit of the bracket, you can't pick the higher seed team in every round. Like, you gotta,
I like that you said in the spirit of it, in my opinion, because that's exactly what I did. Why not? That's who's going to win. I'm telling you, I'm telling you on the vibes.
I got Toronto.
I know you do. That's your upset, right?
Yeah, Boston, that's my higher. Yeah, in seven.
In seven. I thought about putting Bruins in four.
You're funny, man.
Okay, you want to finish up your picks?
And then I got Vancouver in six over Nashville, Edmonton in six over LA, Dallas in six over Vegas, and then Winnipeg in seven over Colorado.
Winnipeg in... Okay, so I like this one. This is the one I wrestled with the most, I think. But I think, again, I don't remember them off the top of my head, but I think I went Colorado here, but... I like this one.
It's a coin flip series, and if you asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have picked Colorado, but given how Colorado's goaltending has imploded down the stretch here, given how Winnipeg is entering the playoffs, having won seven straight, their power play is finally clicking again, which was previously a sore spot, and that top line is finding chemistry again, which was such a key part of their success when they were at their best in the regular season. I give them the slight edge over Colorado just because of goaltending, man.
Fair enough. Okay, those are all your picks, right?
Yep. And it's funny, I should also say this. So I picked this bracket and I didn't speak to Drantz at all about the playoffs. Okay. Right? Like, we have not spoken at all about round one matchups. Our games were different. We picked all eight of the same teams to go through because he tweeted out in the morning.
I am the same way as you, Harm, and we did not talk either. We'll get to mine as the last one here, but there's like a couple games difference. That's it.
Okay, let's get to mine. My bracket. So I have Boston in seven. I think that's conservative. I think it could be, and like people in the YouTube live chat are saying Boston's going to
destroy.
Better
goaltending for sure.
Yeah, Boston's going to destroy the Leafs. I put seven. I think we should make it a series.
It's a coin flip series.
As painful as possible.
It's a coin flip series, but I'll say this. First of all, I don't like either team. I think they're both frauds as cup contenders.
Absolutely.
I think you'd have to combine them together to make a true... Like, if you put them together, right?
That's a great team.
Toronto's offensive firepower with Boston's defense and goaltending, you have...
18.
Like, the best team in the NHL, but you obviously can't do that.
Yeah.
The reason I lean towards Toronto was just because... Look, they won round one last year, and they didn't even have Austin Matthews go beast mode. One of these days, and I think this might be the year, I think he's just going to go beast mode and single-handedly win a series the way that McKinnon can, the way that McDavid can, the way Drysdale can.
Moment's too big for him. He can't do it.
He's
rattled about not getting 70 goals. He's going to go quiet.
I mean, look, maybe, right?
Regular season.
He hasn't
over.
Done it yet.
Him and Mitch Marner's, their season's done. They don't get paid for this. You understand that, right? That's why Mitch Marner, anytime he gets a puck in the defensive zone, Right.
I'm not a Mitch Marner fan. I'll tell you that.
No, me neither.
But
and I just love that every year this team loses and all the fans are like, this is awful. This is horrible. And then management goes, we believe in this group. We believe that they can get it done one of these years. And winning a playoff round bought them more time and it shouldn't have.
Toronto's blue line sucks. Like straight up.
Absolutely awful.
Bad.
Yeah.
Like you cannot win a cup.
Morgan Riley's their best defenseman.
That's not even the biggest problem.
Fair.
Right,
it's their depth of the D, right?
Yeah, they just don't have any high-end top four workhorses beyond that, and their goaltending, is a total wild card. But
wow, hot take.
But from like they have way more offensive firepower than Boston, right? Pastrnak is Boston's only forward that scored 70 points this year.
Yeah,
which you then go down after Pastrnak and Marchand. Who scares you on Boston offensively?
I.
Not Jacob Lauko or Morgan Geeky.
I absolutely agree with you, but ultimately, I just think we have too much of a sample size of Toronto's great firepower just being shut down the minute that schedule flips and says postseason. Stanley Cup playoffs, they flip, they can't get it done.
You'd think one of these years they will break through.
Well, they just did.
I'm betting on Matthews being legit this year.
That's fair.
That's my bet.
Yep.
And
Nylander shows up too in the playoffs too as well. So
yeah.
And plus Boston's power play is cold. That's the other thing that I don't like since the All-Star break. I think their power play ranks in the 20s. Boston is so heavily relying on that power play for their regular season success to this point. I don't like that it's cold.
That's fair. Okay. We've got to one in my bracket. I started with Boston, Toronto. It took us like 10 minutes. Okay. My other one, Florida, Tampa Bay. I got Florida in five there. I think Vasilevskiy makes it a series. And Hedman, you got Kucherov. I think it'll be a fun series, but I ultimately think Florida's going to mean business in this playoffs, man. I think Florida's coming out of the East. I'll say that immediately. I know we didn't do all of the rounds. So I like Florida in five there. Carolina, I have them in five as well. Rangers, I have them sweeping those Washington Capitals. Unless, and I should add this, if the Capitals go ahead and start Clay Stevenson, Caps in seven. Okay.
Wow. Hey, Charlie Lindgren, hell of a season.
No, never heard of him. Going to the West, Colorado. Oh, yeah, I didn't realize this is my only upset, actually, because upset. They're lower in the standings than Winnipeg. Colorado. I have Colorado beating Winnipeg in six games.
Which could happen.
Could happen.
Just like Boston could beat Toronto.
Yeah. Dallas-Vegas, I think that's going to be a hell of a series. I think, Harmon, it might not be a hot take to say, and I know, again, the deeper you get in the playoffs, the harder it gets. I understand all that, but like Dallas-Vegas might be the hardest. It could be the hardest matchup that Dallas has in the playoffs, aside from the cup final. Like if they go all the way, it could be harder than facing Colorado or Winnipeg. I think facing Vegas in round one would be harder than facing Colorado or Winnipeg in round two.
Well, potentially, yes.
So stick with me here, because I'm not trying to say definitively. I'm just saying that it legitimately could end up being. When we look back on Dallas's cup final berth, we could look back and say, wow, the hardest thing they had to do was beat the defending cup champs in round one. And then if they get to round three, let's say they move past Colorado or Winnipeg, Edmonton or Vancouver, like maybe Vancouver gives them a tougher matchup. Maybe Edmonton does the same. Again, these are all maybes. But there's a legitimate chance that Vegas comes out with all their cheating and all their firepower on game one of the playoffs. Mark Stone rips out of the wheelchair. Like, there's a real chance that that's the hardest matchup that they have all postseason.
Yeah, there's also a risk, though, that Vegas just can't flip a switch. Again, they ranked 10th in the Western Conference in points percentage since after you discount the first 3 weeks of the season. Yeah. When they were actually hot. So, and of course, again, injuries have been a big part of that, but you also need your injured guys to be firing right away.
Absolutely.
Which may not happen, right? Remember the year they missed the playoffs, right? It was, just wait till we get our guys back. Just wait till we get our guys back. And it didn't happen and they missed the playoffs. But again, of course, last year, the opposite happened, right? They got their guys back. Stone was ready game one and they won the cup. So that's, Vegas is one of the toughest teams, is like a real wild card in terms of what version of them is going to show up, because on paper, they're terrifying, right?
I just thought of a bit. So you know how Evander Kane played like beer league out here last offseason? Like he just randomly showed up. I think he showed up to eight rinks and played beer league, or he played some beer league, right? I'm just imagining that, like, because he's on LTIR, can't compete. Mark Stone's getting ready for the playoffs by just playing in a local beer league game.
Well, he apparently was spotted playing golf out here, but a bit of a different sport in terms of what muscles you use for your body.
Yeah.
Does anyone care about my picks?
Oh, yeah. Sure, yeah. Your picks. Wait. Sorry. No, I didn't even finish. One sec. So I have Edmonton over LA in five. I think Edmonton takes care of LA. I've said that earlier on the show. Vancouver over Nashville in five. Said it yesterday. UC Saros is going to win a game of the series. I'm already projecting the 2 p.m. start is going to be the game that the Canucks lose. And then they'll come back to Vancouver, finish it in five. That's what I'm predicting. And if you want the rest, Vancouver over Edmonton, Vancouver over Dallas, Vancouver Homer. Over Florida in four, all of those.
Nice.
Nashville's going to be the toughest series they play. No. We're just doing round one. Vancouver over Nashville is my last pick. Okay, Grady, let's get to yours. Your bracket.
Okay, pretty much the same as Harms. I got the Rangers sweeping the Caps. I think Sorokin is going to steal two games. Or not, maybe not steal, but keep them in, because we know Carolina always is out shooting teams. So I got the Canes in six. Florida's depth, I think, is just better overall than Tampa Bay. Bobrovsky has shown he can steal a series. So Panthers in six. I got the Leafs in seven, although I'm second-guessing myself with looking at the goaltending matchup. But I just, like I said earlier, I think one of these years that Leafs offense is going to power through. Well, they did it last year, I guess.
This ain't the year, folks. This ain't the year.
But they're going to lose to Florida yet again. Over in the West, I just do not like Colorado against the Jets. Jets beat them three times this year, 3-0, and they outscored them 17-4, I want to say. And Hellebuck versus Grigoriev mismatch in terms of the pipes. Although I had Winnipeg beating Vegas last year for the same reason, Hellebuck to steal a series. Look how that turned out. Dallas and Vegas, again, goalie bias coming through here. I like Ottinger. Vegas scares me. I thought that I was going to maybe go there with the upset pick, but Dallas's forward group is just too deep. They don't have no weakness. Edmonton in six. I was thinking, maybe the 1-3-1 can trap it to death. Maybe Cam Talbot comes back against his former team and bites them. But, man, did you see that Blackhawks-Kings game last night?
No.
Oh, my goodness. Kings almost lost that one. And that would have changed the bracket, of course, of the playoffs as a whole, in the West at least. And then Vancouver over Nashville. I think Saros will stand on his head for a game. Maybe the Canucks are a little sleepy in that matinee game, like you said, Quads. But overall, Vancouver's depth, especially at the forward group, is just too much stronger. So,
all right.
There we go.
I like it. Okay, anything else you guys wanted to get to? We're going a little overtime today.
That's okay. It's playoffs, baby.
Did anyone have any questions that they wanted us to get to?
Yeah, tell us how stupid we are with our picks.
You know, people like the brackets. And save these. Make sure we save these, Grady, because we'll want to
look at Sorokin not starting? Is he injured right now? Grim Studio says. Are they going Varley?
They might, because Varlamov's been better. Yeah. He's actually started more.
And you never know with Patty Waugh, right? He'll probably...
Well, also, keep in mind that Varlamov's best season of his career was with Patrick Waugh, 2013-14, Avalanche. So you know that Patrick loves him some Varlamov. And Varlamov... Mm-hmm. And the thing, too, is... So Sorokin's save percentage since the All-Star break, I think, is like a 906. But... Varlamov and Sorokin in each of their last few starts are both above a 930. So they've got a legit sort of goalie dilemma going on right now, because both guys, I mean, one's a proven elite guy who maybe slowed down a little bit in the second half. And then the other is Varlamov, one of the best 1B goaltenders in the league.
Yeah, that's a good combo.
918 save percentage for Varlamov this year. Your 28 games played. All right.
There it is.
Someone asked about baseball.
No, they didn't.
Have we already reached our baseball quota today?
I think we didn't.
Someone did. I just gotta find it.
Ban this person from the chat.
Islanders could upset the Hurricanes from Syndicat there.
Yeah, maybe. The Islanders have been playing really good, but Carolina's again.
Gensel too, offensively. Yeah. They've got more firepower than they usually do, and their power play is finally fixed. Like that's been Carolina's like problem in previous postseasons is. Part of it is, they can't score. Their power play doesn't have any juice. Their power play, I think, is second best in the NHL this year. And their PK is the best in the NHL this year.
I like that. I like that a lot. Okay, this one from Gnar. Been a while since watching Canuck hockey was super freaking stressful.
Seriously.
And folks,
every shot.
That feeling is coming back on Sunday. Make sure you check out Rinkwide Vancouver live stream on the Rinkwide Vancouver YouTube channel. Jeff Patterson, our man, will have you covered there.
And we got one coming up today, actually, at 4 o'clock here. Rinkwide with Irf and J-Pat. Just a little playoff preview.
Hell yeah. There you go.
And rumor has it, Eddie Lack may be joining us.
Wow. That'd be fun.
Lack attack.
Cool. Someone buy a house. Someone buy a house.
In Arizona specifically.
Yeah. And some of those houses in Arizona. Not to pump Eddie Lack's tires too much here. But man, like, so I follow him on social media. And he's like, come walk with me through this house. And we go through the house. And you're like, oh my gosh. He's like, it can be yours for $1.2 million. I'm like, wow, Eddie Lack. That sounds great.
But it has a pool and a putting course in the backyard.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. And the point I'm trying to make is that
relatively,
what
speaking,
can $1.2 million get you out here?
Yeah.
It is also USD.
Right.
Good point. Hadn't taken that in consideration.
Homes were super cheap after 2008 for Arizona for a bit after that global mini recession there. And then they've kind of skyrocketed back up. But still, I know a lot of people that have, let's say, winter homes down there. It's a nice spot. Old Scottsdale, if you ever been. I'm sure Harm has torn that strip up a couple times on the road.
I haven't.
No?
I stayed in Tempe the one time.
Yeah, fair enough. Because the rink's like across the city.
Glendale. Which, again, that's a big reason why.
Yeah. We didn't even talk about the Morello stuff that happened today.
Oh yeah, I didn't quite catch.
Well, I showed you that tweet from that note from Gary Bettman about Morello piping up after Bettman said something. Well, I wouldn't quite say that, and Bettman going, "I've already said it." I don't think the Coyotes are coming back, Harm. I don't think they're coming back in 5 years.
Maybe not. We'll see. We'll see.
Do you know what I really, really appreciate most about this whole thing? First of all, I don't have to see Mike Gould tweet about the Coyotes as much. Still will, I'm sure, but this land auction on the 27th of June is not going to matter nearly as much. Like, if they win it, okay, park the Coyotes. In 5 years, we'll maybe have to think about them, talk about them again. But if they lose it, see you later. That's it. That's the last I ever want to see of the Coyotes. I don't want to see them tweeted about, talking to you, Mike. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see any more Coyotes crap. If they lose that land auction that they're hell-bent on winning and put out a big promo video of, look at our new renderings. Look at what we're going to have. See you later. I don't want to hear about them ever again.
Yeah, I will say,
embarrassment.
I think in the right circumstances, you could make Arizona work. Because again, man, like, they had their rink before Mullet Arena in Glendale. That's like the Canucks playing out of what, New Westminster?
Yeah, Coquitlam.
It just made zero sense.
Although Coquitlam's a great place for hockey. Poirier.
Coquitlam for Express, BCHL baby. Hockey specifically. You might want to specify. But also, think about how many great players recently have come out from the Arizona region. I mean, not
absolutely
a massive volume of them, but Matthews, of course. Isn't
Nyes also from there?
Yeah, Nyes. Yeah. Nyes was the other one I was thinking about.
Tage Thompson too?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good pull, Grady.
So I hope that that region still develops
non-playoff performers.
At least they're NHL players.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, I shouldn't make fun of it. You're absolutely correct. And again, you look at the Junior Penguins, like another Coyote. Like Logan Cooley takes his first draw against Sidney Crosby.
By the way, we didn't mention this yesterday. Did you see the report that Salt Lake might not have a team name next season?
Yes.
Like they're somehow gonna have jerseys.
The Utah and hockey colors. Team.
And it might be the Utah hockey team or something. So because apparently the NHL wants to give them enough time to settle on.
They're like,
the right
don't
name.
Rush it. Don't rush it. How long do you need? That should be all right, everybody. We got a team coming. We got to come up with a nickname. Let's all lock ourselves in this room for an hour, come up with the 20 best ones, and we'll narrow it down next week. And the next week, we'll narrow it down again. By 5 weeks' time, we should have our name. Just we'll put it out to fans. We'll do this. We'll do that. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah, sorry. I need a year and 3 months to figure this out.
I need to think. What? What are you thinking about? I can't stand people that can't make decisions. You, go ahead. Ask me about any playoff matchup. I'll give you a hot take. Boom. Just like that. I don't need to think.
You seldom do.
That's right.
That's the vibes that you roll with Quads.
That's why I should be an owner. I should be an NHL owner.
You basically own Canucks Army, don't you?
Somewhat. But that's a good example, though. I make a lot of decisions quite quickly at Canucks Army.
Love it.
But you know what I do? And this is getting a little more serious. You know what I do when I have like an actual big decision? I go for a walk.
Very smart.
I learned that because like
Dollywall teach you that? He's a big walks
guy.
No,
he didn't teach me that actually. But I've been in management for like four years now. I've been in like management at Nation Network. And like that's what I've learned. Like
stress relieving walk.
Don't send that email right away. Take your time. And I know I'm saying this seriously after ripping on the Salt Lake crew for not being able to come up with a name.
I need to take that advice.
But like if I'm given a task, Harm, at work, if you're given a task at work and you say, yeah, I'll get this to you by EOD, meaning end of December. I don't think your bosses are going to like that very much. I don't think my bosses are going to like that very much. There's a point where you have to be able to make decisions in a timely manner. Like you don't rush decisions that matter a lot. And the name of a hockey team absolutely matters a lot. But also, if you're moving at a glacial pace, okay, see you later. I'm going to go get someone else that can make this decision faster.
Yeah,
it's stupid. Utah Yetis. I like Yetis a lot.
How even design jerseys and all that and a color scheme when you don't
Grady,
even
get
know.
Me a piece of paper and some crayons.
Oh, no.
I'll show you how.
I'll get you a bow to put on the show.
I'll show you. All right. Rajcraft, we'll close it on this one. Quads as an owner would make Alex Morello look like Bill Foley. Awesome. All right, we'll wrap it up there. When you talk to us on Monday, folks, when we talk to you on Monday, we'll have a Vancouver Canucks playoff game to talk about, and that is going to be very exciting. But for now, we will close it out there. For my co-host, Harmon Dial, and our technical producer, Grady Sass, my name is Dave Guglielli. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Canucks Conversation. Canucks Conversation with Harmon and Quads brought to you by the Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X's fresh look is just an added bonus to its range since you can drive up to 406 kilometers on a single charge. That's enough to get you from Kitsilano to Whistler or Kamloops to Kelowna and back and still be home in time for the game. Now that's what we'd call electric. The best part, by choosing electric, you can get up to $11,000 in rebates and incentives. The BZ4X are in stock and selling quickly, so make sure to visit shoptoyota.ca or your local Pacific Toyota dealer to get your hands on one. Canucks Conversation is live Monday through Friday, every weekday at 2 p.m. over on the Canucks Army YouTube channel. Make sure you like, subscribe, and interact in the YouTube live chat every day with us, folks.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.